I started this series a couple of weeks ago on dating is about marriage and marriage is about dating. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about not only how we date before we get married, but how we live out that marriage life. And so we've been kind of addressing these issues. You kind of see the titles out there with that defective dater. And I kind of started out kind of bucking what you hear so often, that divorce is 50% of marriages in divorce. And I kind of showed and shared with you that that's not statistically true. That by your participation in faith, that by your participation in what God is doing at least twice a week, you can cut your chance on divorce in half. And that you need to marry a Christian. That I was kind of challenging you to know none of this impulse dating and showroom shopping in your dating. And then last week we kind of looked at check the baggage. That we all have things in our life that we have that's baggage. It can be family baggage, there's temperament baggage. And I kind of, you need to check out what do they have? What are they bringing into that relationship? And this morning I want to look at warning signs. That we need to stop and we need to look for some warning signs. I've never forgot when I was younger and our kids were younger, we'd always go down to Disneyland. And not to waste a day at Disneyland, we would stop at the L.A. Zoo. So we'd leave at 3 in the morning and get down to L.A. Zoo and spend a couple hours at L.A. Zoo, then go to our hotel so that we would not waste like a half a day at Disneyland. I want to be there the whole day. And so one of these days, I'm driving down the road, I'm looking for the sign. And I'm watching for the sign. I'm buzzing down the road, looking. I'm driving through L.A. and I didn't see a sign. And one of my kids in the back is yelling, "You missed the turn, you missed it." I said, "Shut up, I'm watching for the turn." And sure enough, I went right on by the sign that said LA Zoo, turn. But my daughter seen it. And it's kind of like, you know, so I'm yelling at her for what she's seen. And I kind of want to talk about that. Is there some signs in relationships that maybe you went by and you go, "Why didn't I see that? Why didn't I see that sign?" I want to talk about those. But I want to begin with this illustration of how this really works. Many of you know me. You've been here for several times. You know who I am. And you know I am colorblind. That's a stigma, all right? So I did some research. I am color challenged is what I found out, all right? I'm not colorblind. I am color challenged. But I want to kind of show you how it works and what it looks like. You can't believe the experience. This is vividly burned in my mind. I can remember going to the nurse's station at Bowling Green Elementary School. I can show you right where the school is off Franklin Road in Sacramento. That's where I went. I can remember going to the nurse's office with a group of kids. You sit down at the nurse's office, and she pulled out this little book. And in this book, it had a little circle with a bunch of little dots in it that looked like this. All right? And it had this book with these little dots in it, and it says, "What do you see?" And I look at that, like many of you, and I see the number 12. Yeah, you guys got it. Does everybody here see the number 12? All right, I think most of you see the number 12. I see the number 12. All right. She turns the page and says, "What do you see?" What do you see? No. You're wrong. I see the number 3. That's the number I see. I sat there and I look at that. Now, let me give you a pre-warning here. These projectors and all this, don't think you're colorblind if you can't get it all right, because we try to get the colors the best we can. But if you miss some of these, you might need to go see a doctor. All right? But I'm serious. I see 3. Plain as day. That's all I see. I don't see any more other than a 3. She flips the page again, and here's another one. And I kind of see, it almost looks like 70. It almost looks like 20. I can't quite make it out. Somewhere either a 70 or a 20 is what I would say to that. What do you guys see? All right. But I look at that, I can barely make out, there's no bottom on the two, but it looks kind of like a loop on the top. So I would say 20, maybe 70. That's what I see. What's next? Then I get to this one. What do you see? I see nothing. There is nothing there. Zip, zilch, nothing. Do you know what it's like to have everybody else see something and you look at that and it's nothing? To know everybody else can see it as plain as day, for you guys it's no problem, right? Is it hard to see that? It's really easy, right? I look at that, I see nothing. There's another one. Again, I see nothing. What do you guys see? There's nothing there, okay? You guys are seeing things. Because there's nothing there. Absolutely nothing. I think I got one more. Was that the last one? Again. Is there a number there? There's nothing there. You want to know what it's like to know that everybody else can see it. It's as plain as day. It's, you know, it's like a thumb sticking out there to you guys. But for me, I look at that and there's nothing. Have you ever had your friends? Have you ever had somebody tell you you're dating somebody, you're with somebody, and they're giving you warning signs saying, you don't know that person? Are you sure? And you're so in love, you're so infatuated, you can't see it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That you can get caught up. You can get the emotions, the physical body gets going, they're attractive, they're good looking, they're hot, whether it's a guy or a girl. For me, it'd be a girl, just make sure you know that. Yeah. And you're watching that, and people are saying, wait a minute, slow down. You really don't, have you seen this? Have you seen? And you're so in love, you don't see it. That's kind of like me with this colorblind test. I mean, I look at that and there is nothing. I'm serious. There is nothing there but dots. Last night, the worship team and I were going over all this, and I was telling them, this one's red, that's a light red, that's a dark red, that's brown, but there's nothing there. And they're pointing out, here's where it's at. It ain't there. I want us to think about this morning. Are you watching? Are you aware of there's warning signs? Whether you're dating or you're married, there are warning signs you need to be aware of. And I want us to look at some of them. So if you got your outline out, I want to encourage you to get it out. And I want you to think about some of these warning signs. Again, dating is about marriage and marriage is about dating. It doesn't matter. If you're married, you need to pay attention. If you're thinking about trying to find a potential mate, you need to pay attention. The first warning sign comes from the character. You need to look at somebody's character. You need to see what their character is like. All right, what is their character? I'm talking about, do they have integrity? Are they honest? Are they trustworthy? Let me make it really simple. Do they lie? I want to ask you a question. As I was writing this, here's the question that came to my mind. How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? How many lies you have to... Well, he tells the truth most of the time. Well, she doesn't lie all the time, just sometimes. If somebody's a liar, they are a liar. Now, bear with me as I go through this, because as I get down through the message, I'm going to tell you that nobody's perfect, okay? But you need to start thinking about that lying. Are they a liar? Are they trustworthy? Can you trust them with your heart? Can you trust them with your life? Are they honest? I'm going to tell you, you know, if they're not honest at work, they're not going to be honest with you. Okay? Do you understand? If you can't trust them with the little things, how can you trust them with the big thing called your heart? You need to step back and look at that integrity and look at their lives and are they trustworthy and can you trust them? And will they lie? And are they just little lies? No, they're just little white lies. And you got to see those. Do they gossip? Are they? I mean, that's integrity. That's character to me. Here's my rule. You know, if somebody gossips to me, they're probably gossiping about me. That's just part of their character. Are they gossips? What about premarital sex? What about if they're going to violate it there, are they going to be honest when they're married? If they can't be honest before they get married, can they be honest after they get married about premarital sex? Living together. Well, everybody's doing it. That's the thing today. I was doing some research for my next sermon, and everybody lives together, and it's not that bad. It was amazing to me. I got on the internet, and I was doing some research to watch how people try to explain away living together in premarital sex, that it doesn't affect the marriage after you're married. That statistic about cutting your divorce rate in half when you go to church and you participate in church twice a week, that statistic isn't quite true. You had to read this one girl's paper. I was reading this girl's paper. She wrote it for Boston University. And it was so funny to read it. And she's going, well, it's not necessarily the church because they already have those religious values. Well, where did they get the religious values? I mean, I'm sitting there reading this, and it's just amazing to read this stuff. But it boils down to integrity. Look at what the scripture says here. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by duplicity. Integrity. You have to have integrity. And the word integrity, anybody know what an integer is? My kids were doing homework the other day, and they're sitting on the couch, and the girl yells, what's an integer? Integer is a whole number, right? Anybody here math people? Anybody been in math in a long time? A whole number. What he's saying here is it a whole person? Is it a whole person? Are they whole? Are they complete? Do they have integrity? Are there little parts of their life that they kind of hold out to the side here that they're just not really having integrity? I like this next verse. Look what this next verse says. Get rid. I want you to circle the word rid. Get rid of yourself. Therefore, rid yourself of malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Get rid of that stuff in your life. You've got to avoid that stuff in your life. Don't give those things. You've got to have integrity. There's some things in my life. I'm married now. And there's some things in my life that are some rules in my life. Some things. I don't have a door on my office. I have a room with all my computer stuff, my library, my books. Everything's in there. Now, I'm not going to go to a porn site. That is my desire. That is my will. I will not go to a porn site on my computer. That is a commitment I made. But you know what? I took the door off my office, so my grandkids walk down that hall. My wife walked down that hall. I got one of my granddaughters. She loves to come to my office all the time and sit there while I'm doing things on my computer. And I took the door off. I want to be a man of integrity. I go traveling around, and I'm out all the time. You know how often I call Laura? It's like, okay, Laura, I'm leaving such and such, but I'm going somewhere. I have to report in, right? No, I don't have to report to Laura. Laura's not keeping an eye on me. But I'm going to call her and tell her, I just left the hospital. I'm heading over to Walmart to get some candy. I'll be back in a little while. No, I don't go to Walmart I go to Walmart to make a visit. One of our church members works there. It just happened to be candy there, too. Make sure I say that right. And I do those things in my life. I want to be a man of integrity. I got to guard my life. I want to be trustworthy. I want to be honest. I want, you know, and so there's some things I get rid of in my life. See, so whether you're dating or you're married, you need to think about that character. What are you doing to guard your character? Here's the thing you might want to write this down. This is a good statement right here. Even though it's not printed here, you got to just fill a blank in. You need to be the person that you want to marry. Whatever character you want in the person you want to marry, you need to be that character yourself. Does that make sense? You need to be the one, the character, the behavior, the attitude, the life. You need to act like that you want your spouse to be like. If you're married, you need to act like you'd like your spouse, the character and integrity. If you're dating, you need to act that way so the one that your potential mate sees that character in you. Are there warning signs Now, I'm kind of cruel. I'm kind of just upfront about this, and I'm sorry. If you're dating here, and if you're here and you're dating somebody, and he has bad character, he just lies a little bit, dump him. There's no such thing as a little lie. There's no such thing. If he's going to lie to you now, he's going to lie to you later. Guys, the same thing. If the girl can't be trustworthy when you're not married, when you're married, she can't be trustworthy. Now, we're not perfect, and we're going to have to work on it, and I'm going to get there, but we need to get rid of these things in our life. And we need to build that trust. And once it falls, we need to rebuild that trust. And we need to work on it. But we need to set those boundaries up. Does that make sense? But you know what happens? Look at this. Look at this. Some of you see it as plain as day, and you can recognize it. I see it. I see nothing. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and I'm saying character, and you guys are saying it doesn't matter. I don't see it. Some of you are sitting there going, it's plain as day. Any of you, just blow what I'm saying off? I'm encouraging you. I'm going to be mean this morning. Because this is the rest of your life. This is success in marriage. This is the joy you want to have for your life. I'm excited about my marriage. I'm having a great marriage. I can be a pain. Don't think I'm easy to live with. And don't ask Laura about it. I don't want her telling you anything. All right? But I am enjoying. And I'm going to make sure I have character. Second thing, if you look for warning signs that you need to think about, I hope you see it, is the relational sign. What about that person's relationships? What are their relationships like? Do they have very many friends? They don't have any friends? That should say something. Are all their friends new and they just can't keep friends? What does it say about them and who they are and how they live? Do they have friends that encourage them to be with Christ and to be in the church? Or do they always got plans on Sunday? It's okay, it's just one Sunday. Well, one Sunday a month. What is their life? What are they encouraging? How are they living? I mean, we need to think about these things. Do they encourage others? Are they trauma people? Chicken Little? The sky is falling, the sky is falling. Everything's falling around them. And what are their relationships like? How do they live their life out in their relationships? Are they always fighting with their friends? Bickering? Well, with us, it's different. We're going to be the exception. You know how many times I've heard that one? We're going to be the exception. We need to look at these as warning signs. We need to be aware of this. Here's a scripture that's really great. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Hands down, no questions asked. It does. That's why. What I want to say here is, I like watching cop shows. I watched one again yesterday called 48 Hours, and it's, you know, there's a murder and they solve the murder, and I enjoy watching those shows. But here's the most interesting thing. Yesterday's show just epitomized it too. There's a murder. Three guys are there when the murder happens. They've been friends all, as a matter of fact, all four were best friends from day one. And they're friends. We're going to have each other's backs, man. We're going to take care of one another. They throw them in rooms and start to interview them. And guess what? Their friend just pointed the finger at them and said, they did it. I got your back, brother, until you do something, then I'm going to turn you over. You ain't going to take me to jail. And it's so interesting to watch this. And then to watch the ones where these two guys are best buddies, been friends all their life. They're going to take care of one another. And one of them pulled the trigger and the other one didn't. They're both in the car and they're both blaming each other. That's a real good friend, isn't it? You know how many times you watch these shows or you hear this statement? It all started when I was hanging around with... You know what I'm saying? How many times some of us growing up, and some of you here probably hear from your parents, you get tired of hearing it. Watch who you choose as your friends. Anybody? You tell your kids that all the time. Watch who you hang around with. Be careful who you hang around with. There was another cop show called Scared Straight. And they'd taken kids to jail. And they threw this one young girl. They were best friends, and they go down there together, and they got one another's back. They'll sacrifice for one another. They'll do whatever they can for one another. And they put one of the girls in jail, throw her behind the bars, slam the door closed, say, "You're going to stay in there till tomorrow." They bring her friend up to the front of that and say, "Here's your friend." They talk to one another, and they look at the girl and say, "Okay, now she can get out if you go in. If you'll trade places with your friend, we'll let her out. You want to trade places?" You know what her friend told her? "No. I got your back. I'll be with you. We're okay." But, see, we need to check about those relationships. Who are they hanging around with? Who are they running around with? Do they have long-term friends or short-term friends? It all makes a difference. It all adds up. As you're shopping and as you're looking and as you're dating, it's like, you know, if they're always hanging around over there, you know, sooner or later they're going to get in trouble. Sooner or later something's going to happen. And we need to see these as warning signs. We as married, we got to watch who we hang around with. We got to watch who we run around with. I'm one who believes there's no such thing as a platonic relationship. You need to know that. Ladies cannot have a best friend with a guy. And a guy can't have a best friend with a girl. Ain't gonna work. All right? Now, guys, I'm gonna tell you, guys have one-track minds and it doesn't go where it should. It just doesn't work. You gotta monitor your, even once you get married, you gotta monitor your friendships. You gotta check who you're friends with. And it goes back to that integrity thing. It goes back to that honesty and trustworthiness and truthfulness. So how are their relationships? Is there a warning sign? You know, I got another circle here again. Look at this. I mean, it's plain as day. That warning sign, that guy's going the wrong way, that girl's making bad choices, but I can change them. You know, I'll be the one to make her life, his life better because of who I am. Next week I'm going to talk about, and next week is a really serious message, and you know, like I said, it's going to be a lot on sex. You know, here, ladies want to live together. Let me say this, kind of set this up. Guys want to live together for one reason. I'm going to tell you, it's sex, okay? Hands down, no questions asked. Guys, when they want to live with a girl, they want sex, all right? You don't believe me? Move in with a guy, tell him we're going to live together for 6 months, and you can't have sex. See how long that lasts, okay? Now, girls want to move together because it's like this. We're going to set up home. I'm going to be a really loving wife. He's going to like it so much that he's going to say, "Let's get married." He's going to like so much how much I can cook food and how much I take care of the home. He's going to love everything like it is. He says, "We should get married." Ain't going to work. All right? Relationships, it all adds up and it all works. Check those relationships. I don't see anything. I'm talking about relationships. Some of you are going, "I don't see anything. That's no big deal." Yeah, I know he's had 100 different girlfriends and lived with 2 of them, but it's no big deal. Yeah, I know he wants to go to bed now, but it's no big deal. And you're sitting there, you're like me, "I don't see anything. Let's just go." It's a warning sign. Marriage, warning sign. Watch those relationships. These are warning signs. What's next? What do I have next? Oh, I like this one. The high maintenance sign. All right. Now, let me set this in context here. Marriage is high maintenance, all right? Let's start on that foundation. Anybody who's married here would echo with me, at least I think if you're wise enough, it takes work to be married, right? It's work. It's hard. It's not the easiest thing. Marriage takes work, and so there's a high maintenance in marriage. What I'm talking about is the high maintenance, all right? You know, the guy who wants you to wipe his nose, you know, the girl who wants the sugar daddy, you know, there's this high maintenance out there that they have this standard, and, you know, they want the house on the mansion with the Ferrari in the driveway. And you need to kind of step back. You know, are they willing to live with a hoopie in the driveway and a hut in the house? You know, you got to think about these kind of things. Do they have this high maintenance that you know, here's this standard and here's my expectations? And I'll tell you ladies something, just so you get an idea. If you will let a guy lay on a couch and do nothing, he will do it. Okay? I'm serious. If some woman's going to support the guy and take care of him, he will lay on that couch, become a couch potato, and do nothing. Guys will do that. That's just the reality. Yeah. He's a high maintenance. Wipe his nose. I was going to say wipe something else, but I wouldn't do that to you. Yeah. It's because that's what life is like. We need to watch out for that high maintenance. You know, we let money become a big issue. Look at this verse right here. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to also the interest of others. It's not about you. You know what my natural inclination is? Selfishness. Anybody else like that one? The TV remote is whose? That's my remote. That's why we got two in the house, okay? We got a his and her remotes in the house. You know, and then when the fight comes, is when I'm pushing the button, she's trying to push the button at the same time. That's no fun. We're selfish by nature. That's that high maintenance. But money begins to play a role. Look at what the scripture says here. Whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Always wanting more. Got to have more, just a little more, want some more, and just keep pushing for more. And, you know, you got to marry somebody who not only loves you now, but they're going to love you when you're all wrinkly and you take your teeth out, okay? You do. You got to marry somebody that's, you know, it's not all the clothes and the makeup, and it's not all the six-pack abs and all of that. I don't care what Bowflex you have or treadmill you got. It's not what it's all about. You got to watch for that high maintenance in those relationships and what's there and how people live with that. But what I wanted to make sure I come to this point is that there's no such thing as a perfect person. You know who I am, right? I fall in the Mary Poppins catalog. Called practically perfect, okay? That's my category. I'm over here. You know, I'm joking, all right? But there's no such thing as a perfect person. So what, you know, there's another sign you got to watch for, all right? You got to watch for the sign that says road work ahead, all right? You got to watch for the sign that says road work ahead. None of us are perfect. And I've heard many a woman, now guys usually don't say this, it's mostly the women that I hear say this, I'm going to fix him. I'll change him. It doesn't work. They've got to be willing to change. But what I want to make sure of is we need to understand that we all need work. Now, as you're looking at someone and you're thinking about a potential mate or you're married, don't think it's perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect relationship. I've shared with you from the very beginning that even from the very beginning, Adam and Eve was a dysfunctional family. I mean, Cain killed Abel, that's not quite functioning well. There's no such thing as a perfect family. We all need work, but we got to be willing to work on ourselves. Don't think you can change someone. Don't think you can make someone better. The work starts on ourselves. Look at what the scripture says, but what we need to do and what we need to be is we need to be compassionate and we need to be understanding as you look at the scriptures. I had that circle again. Let's go here. The road work ahead. Be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, God, forgave you. We all have to have work. None of us are perfect. Whether you're dating or you're married. I messed up during dating. Anybody else? You know? I made some dumb choices. We do things. We make mistakes. We make errors. But we need to be compassionate. We need to understand there's road work ahead. I want to tell you something. Love doesn't solve all the problems. All right? Well, we're in love. Doesn't make everything disappear. Doesn't make everything run smooth. Well, we're going to get married. We're going to live on love. And everything's going to be okie-dokie and everything's fine. It doesn't work that way. There's road work ahead. And you got to look at, sometimes you're going to see bridge out. Eep. You know, I put some signs down here. Sometimes you're going to see rock slide ahead. Sometimes you're going to see road closed. You're going to see that. Here's something I want you to write in here on this one. Don't be afraid to ask for help, okay? Don't be afraid to go talk to a counselor. And one of the tragedies that we talk about as pastors, and when I visit with counselors and talk and recruit counselors and share with counselors, most people wait till it's almost too late. That's their last resort. Don't let a counselor be your last resort. We all need work. We all have road improvements. And so when I'm talking about this road work head sign, realize there's nobody's perfect. You're not, neither are they, whether you're dating them or not. And I'm one who's, the longer I'm doing this, the more I'm looking at this sermon series, I really believe you should invest $300 to $400 before you get married and go and see a marriage counselor. You're going to spend $5,000 on a marriage. You can spend $4,000 or $5,000. $5,000 a marriage is cheap today from what I understand. You can spend $400 or $500 to see a marriage counselor to lay a foundation for a successful marriage forever. I think that's a better investment than a $10,000 wedding. Don't be afraid to say, I need some tools. That's what a counselor does. I tell people all the time, all a counselor does is he gives you some tools. Gives you somebody that's sitting outside of everything to kind of look in and say, have you thought about this? And here's some things you can do. And have you tried this? And they just give you some tools to help you, to make it work better. See, be willing to say that. Be willing, I need some help. Be willing to say I'm wrong. You know, I've made a mistake. I messed up. Be willing to say that. We all do. That's why this verse is so important. There's no such thing. So you got, you know, as I started this message, I wanted to make sure I come to this point because there's no such thing as a perfect guy out there. There's no such thing as a perfect girl. We all need work, but you got to check the signs though. I mean, like I said, I watch those cop shows, and you know, when they pull out a 30-page report on a guy, 30 pages? Wait a minute. You know. I can understand one or two problems, but, you know, with 30 pages of problems, I think there's that might be breaks. Again, what do you see? What do you see? You know, look at the circle again. What do you see? I mean, you see that, and some of you are going, it's plain as day. I see it. I'm looking at it. I don't know. How many of you, when you were dating, had somebody say, did you know so-and-so? Did you know this about so-and-so? Did you? And you're looking at it going, I didn't see that. I hadn't heard that. Yeah. You heard your parents say, watch out who you run with. And then all of a sudden, you're in jail. I had friends that. I was sitting over at a friend's house visiting with their grandparents and talking to them. And they were talking about that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time because he was with the wrong friend. Do you see? Road work ahead. I don't see no road work ahead. Right off the bridge you go. And you wonder, what happened? I missed the LA Zoo sign. I'd never seen it. There's another sign we need to watch for. Now, you might think this is a religious sign, and it is. It's called the church. I shared at the beginning of the series, and I started there. Your faith, the practice of your faith, makes a difference in your marriage. You might not think it does, but it is a statistical fact. The practice of your faith makes a difference in the lasting and the joy of your marriage. It is statistically a fact. You need to check the church. Are you dating someone who's church hopping here and here, and they can't find the right church, and they can't find the right place, and this church does that, and this church does that, and they can't seem to find a place to fit, and it's always this, and they just hopscotch from one church to the next? You need to check the church factor. It will make a difference in the marriage. If you want a marriage to last, the statistics are there. practice twice a week your religious activities, and your marriage has half the rate of failure that others' marriages do. It's a fact. Look what the scripture says. Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me say this. You need to settle on the church you're going to go to before you get married. All right? You need to have that all resolved before you say, I do. And then you need to be committed. You need to be there. They need to be there. You need to settle this out and make sure this works. I wrote it this way. Again, I have some really nice sayings I like. You need two homes and you need two houses in your marriage. You need the marriage house and the Lord's house. You know that? You want a successful marriage, you need your marriage house with a bed of integrity in it, and you need the Lord's house where you fellowship and worship and you study God together. You need to have that if you want. What's their church sign? If you want a successful marriage, you need to have, what's their church sign? Where are they at? They go to church when they feel they need to, or they go to church as a practice of their faith and what they believe and who they are. And we need to see that. The last one I put down here is this one. I got another circle. See, I put the circles after everyone because I know some of you are saying that's not a big deal. So I put the circle after everyone because I know some of you are going, oh, that one's not a big deal. You run through that sign, I guarantee you at some point it will be a big deal. Guaranteed. The last one I put down here is the slow sign. Slow. Slow. Laura and I dated for 4 years. 4 years. Well, she couldn't. She was only 17 when we got married. That kind of tells you what's going on. We had to wait anyway. 4 years. Go slow. You know, people are waiting now. Back in the 60s, people were getting married in the early 20s. Now, in the 90s and the 2000s, people are getting married in their late 20s. Years ago, people used to thought you grew up when you got married. Yeah. Now, people don't think you grew up even until you get your kids. It's really a different world, so we've got to slow down. We've got to just kind of back up and slow down. Look at, this is a really interesting story. This guy waited years. Look, so Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Now, just to give you a little hint about this, he didn't serve just 7 years for Rachel. He had served another 7 years to get Rachel, but his father-in-law tricked him. He got Rachel's sister first. So then he had to work another 7 years. So it took him 14 years. Not just 7, to get Rachel. All right? We need to slow down. See, we're in love and our heart's beating. And it's like, ah, I'm in love. Let's go. And we let our emotions dictate it. We let our emotions get involved. See, our hormones start racing. You know, the body starts beating faster. The hormones start racing. Emotions start getting involved. And our brain goes, eek! Shuts down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you get emotionally involved, you get all this stuff going. I'm going to talk about this next week. You know, you get sex going on, your brain shuts down. I'm serious. We're going to talk about this next week. You need to slow down, back it up. You know, beep, 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 beep. Let's slow down a little bit and kind of think about this. And can love wait? You know, if it's really love, can we wait? Can we see what's going on? Like I said, I had some really nice, neat sayings. This one, how about this one? I put it this way. Go slow, get to know. Huh? Go slow, get to know. What do you see? This whole message, I've been just trying to set back, and I'm sure some of you out here are going, this kid, Gary's crazy. He's an old fart. He just doesn't get it. He's blind. You guys see that as plain as day, unless you're colorblind. I know Dan is. I was going to ask Dan what he's seen. But I'm serious. There is nothing there. Nothing. I just see a bunch of dots. And you guys see it as plain as day. What I'm saying today may seem to you like just a bunch of dots. It may seem just like he's all over the board. He's everywhere with all of this. It really is no big deal. You know, integrity and character, you know, all this. We're in love, and you're just, it's no big deal. And you're just blowing off what I'm saying. It's kind of like me looking at that. I don't see a thing. Some of you out here has had some hard times in your life, maybe hard times in your marriage, and you're looking at that. You're going, I know exactly what he's saying. I hope my kids listen. I'm praying that my grandkids listen. I'm praying that I'll make better choices. See, we see that. See, I want to challenge you. What do you see? What do you see? The bottom of the page, I made it as simple as I could. I just wrote this. Go slow. Stop, look, and listen. Slow down. Just slow down. Even in your marriage, slow down. Take time. See, the reality that Laura and I have talked, the reality of me retiring, I don't know about you, but I don't have much hope in Social Security. I don't know what you guys hope for. My pension plan is kind of going, anybody else in that boat, you know, with the stock market and all that? There's not much. So you know what? I'm going to go slow now, and I'm going to enjoy life now. I'm not going to wait till I retire. See, in your mirror, I'm going to challenge, go slow. Start enjoying life today. But you enjoy it when you see the warning signs. If you blow by these warning signs and you come out and you crash, and you're going to look back and go, I didn't see it. I'm going to tell you, this morning, anybody in here, you blow through these signs, you have no excuse. I made it as plain as I could. You want a successful relationship, whether you're dating or you're married, watch for the warning signs. Check that character. Check that character. Check those relationships. Guard those relationships. Be careful. Realize there's road work ahead and realize there's high maintenance involved. Acknowledge the place the church has, that it can make a difference in your marriage, that being a part of what God is doing in your marriage can make a difference. And then just go slow. Just go slow. What do you see? That's what I want to leave you with this morning. What do you see? You see just a bunch of dots? Is it kind of blurry this morning? Or do you see the warning sign? Guard your life. I shared with you, and I'll share it again. I do not plan on having an affair in my marriage. I'm committed to my wife. But you want to know something? I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I watch for the warning signs. I do. I'll call Laura up. I'm going here. I'm going there. I won't go in women's houses. I won't get in a car with a woman. One of the interesting things, our school got a woman superintendent. And I usually had lunch with the superintendent. We'd go visit schools with the superintendent. You know what it's like now? I'll meet you at the school. I won't even get in the car with our superintendent. What would people think if they see me riding around in the car in Salida with another woman? I won't even get in the car with her. Because see, there's warning signs for me. And I'm putting these walls up. I'm not going to have one. I'm going to make sure I do everything that doesn't. I'm not going to do that and just go on through life. Ain't going to work. Watch for the warning signs. Will you go slow? Will you stop, look, and listen? There's character that makes a difference. That's that integrity. There's some high maintenance stuff to take care of. There's those relationships. Will you guard your mate? And will you guard your potential mate? Let's pray.